Okay. last year we discussed a little about shame, and now we're going to go on in the Gemara. The Gemara says near the end of that Gimel and Aleph, Ella, I guess by the little Gimel of the Mishpat, Ella told her to shame. Shame, Chikamar Pavel told her to Rebbe. Really, told her shame is like shame. So far, Karen and Shane are all kayots of the head. So what's not kayots of the head? Maybe Regel. Told the Regel Maivi, what is it? Hizika begufa derech hilucha. If Regel, the Av of Regel is Regel. It's a foot. But that's Meshalche Regel, we learn from. If it knocks something over with its body, the Sara derech hilucha, or knocks something over with its hair, obviously it's conceptually the same as using as knocking stepping on something with its foot. Bishlifsha aleha, with the saddlebag that's on it, Prumbia Shiva Piha, with the bit that's in its mouth. I'm not sure if I'm getting all these horse, these animal words right, but more or less, the shlif is like something that's on it that holds things. The prumbia is the thing that's in its mouth that you use to control it. Or bezunshim tzavara, even a bell that's hanging on its neck, if that knocks something over. Those are all told as a regal. So the Gemara asks, "Myshal regal, the zegamatzar imonchos rosin alecha." I mean, how many zegamatzar imonchos rosin alecha? They're just like regal. They're common things. Zegamatzar like regal, just walking, not doing anything special. And maybe we do or don't have the girsim imoncha, as we discussed 2 weeks ago. And shmirasin alecha. Ella told the regal kiregal. Nope, can't be regal. So what? The told us not like it. Kikam Rav Papa told the bor. Okay, told the bor. My knee. What is a told of bor? Elaim, at first we think Av Yud Vitolda Tess, that the Av Malach of Bor is a 10 Tefach deep Bor, and the Tolda is a 9 Tefach deep Bor. Why do we think there's a difference? Because we know there's a Mishnah later on, and Daf Nun, Hamid Beis, I think, that says that if an animal falls in and dies, then your Chayiv Yubor is 10 Tefach deep. But if it's 9 Tefach deep, you're not Chayiv if the animal dies, you're only Chayiv if it gets injured. So we see there's a difference. So we think 10 is the Av, 9 is the Tolda. So the Gemara's objection is, and this is, you know, this supports what Rashi said at the very beginning of the Masechet, that Av, when it comes to Nezikin, is what's written in the Torah. Right? That's why in Keren they started bringing Pesukim. Shane regularly brought Pesukim. So here they're saying, what do you mean? You mean one is written more than the other? Lo Tetziv, Lo Yotziv. Neither one is written. It says Bar. It doesn't say anything about 9 or 10. In the Chumash, no, halakashya, mesi alom, rechmanu, bekimla, rabbanu, yud, avdi, misa, test, nezikin, avdi, misa, lo, avdi. No, even though it doesn't say the word ten tfachin in the Chumash, since it says, beha mesi alo, right, baal habor yishalem, kesef yoshev, levala, beha mesi alo, so it's obviously talking about a boar that kills, and bekimla, hu, the rabbanu knew that the boar that's 10 tefachim kills, and therefore it's referring to a boar that's 10 tefachim. So at this point, it's a reasonable havamina that the Torah mentions 10. So 10 is the Av, and 9 is the Tolda. This is just a technical point here. I don't have any lundus yet, but, you know, it's a matter of shot in the Gemara. What did the Gemara mean when it said, lo tes ksivi, lo yud ksivi? So it seems, if we only had our Gemara, it would be very poshut. Yeah, taka, Chumash didn't say tes, habamesi alo, we make a deal. But until the Mesiello, ki yichre ish ki yiftach ish boru ki yichre ish boru v'lo yichasenu v'nachol shamashor chamor baal habor yishalim kesef yishiv lo alav, doesn't say anything about tesser yod. It just says a pit. Pit can be anything. The problem is that in terms of just shot of the word bor, the problem is that soser the Mishnah daf nun amud beis. It's soser. Tos says soser. What Rashi says on nun amud beis. Really, Rashi is saying shot of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say on Daf Nun? Beis hachofer bor b'shus harabim v'nafol tovo shorecham or chayev. Echad hachofer bor shiach. If, as a personal favor, I'll ask everyone to be machbid to say shiach and not siach. Right? Siach could be a conversation. Siach could be a bush. But shiach is a ditch. Right? Milashon in Tanakh language, the Tanakh doesn't say shiach, but sometimes it says like a shucha. You know, koresh shucha, dig a pit, and it comes from the same root word as lehishtachavot, right? Shach means to be low. So, lehishtachavot is to bow down, some mitzvah el or something, you make yourself low, and a shiach is a ditch when you dig something low. Okay, so, but that's just me being an annoying, addictive person. Shiach ma'ara, charitzin, itzen chayit. But it doesn't matter whether it's a bor or any other type of thing that's dug in the ground, you are shiach ma'ara, charitzin, itzen chayit. In game of an error bor, if anything, the Torah could have just said, v'chi yiftach ish, o ki yichre ish, v'lo yichasen, v'nafal shama shor chamor. Right? Could have said, if you dig anything. Said the word digging. Right? So it could have said, if you did. Why did it say davka bor? So the Mishnah says, inkein lama nemar bor, ma bor sheish v'gedil hamas asar tvachim, av kol sheish v'gedil hamas asar tvachim. Just like bor teaches you, you need it, that your only chai if an animal dies, it was deep enough for the animal to die, 10 tvachim. Likewise, the sheach ma'arach haritzim ne'itzim are only 10 tvachim. So it seems pretty clear from that Mishnah, like we know 10 tvachim for the word bor. Not like our gemar for the word ramesi alo. Because then it wouldn't need to say, but they're not asking why it needs to say MACL low. They're asking why it needs to say bar if there's no difference in a pit and a ditch and a different shaped ditch and a cave and a big hole in the ground. You know, so it's learning from bar. So here we have a steer. There it says, Mishnah says, Mefurish, bar teaches you 10 tvachim. Argmar says, Mefurish, bar doesn't teach you any amount of tvachim. MACL low teaches you 10 tvachim. But the word bor doesn't say anything. So that is and that's what Tosos asks on Rashi here. Although, you know, Tosos being, it's really a cop. Rashi's just reading Pshat in the Mishnah. So Tosos is saying, you Rashi, you read Pshat in the Mishnah there. You shouldn't have. You should have realized it's a stira. So there are three basic shitas as to what a stam bor is. Stam bor, and then the Gemara on Daf Gimel and Aleph, and then the Mishnah. On the none of the days. What is a stambor? Rashi says right here, Rashi says there, and that is also the opinion of the Ravid there. Who did I mention there? The Ravid there in his second shot. So here we have one Rashi on Daf none of the days, and the Ravid in his second shot. They say that the Gemara, the Mishnah there means Kipshuto. Right? That, they say, Asara. And therefore, the Mishnah is Kipshuto. Right? A Stambor is Ten Tfachim. Why? How do we know a Stambor is Ten Tfachim? So the Raiva there says, because not because of MACLO, because we know it just from Bor. Because a Bor generally means something people dig. Why do people dig a Bor? This is not supposed to be a hard question. It's not a trick question. It really is easy. For water, right? They dig a bore for water. And the rabbit says, no one digs a 3 or 5 tefach bore for water. If you're digging a bore, you wanted to hold a decent amount of water. And they're mashire that a person who digs a bore digs one that holds at least 10 tefach, and that way you can have a reasonable amount of water. Okay. Could be. So they say a stam bore is 10, and that mission goes kipshuto. What do they do with our Gemara? Our Gemara is exceedingly problematic. As Tosis points out, there's no way to read our Gemara. If a stambor is 10 tfachim, then why do they need to come on from Asia? Lo? What do you mean, lo yuxivi? Yuxivi stambor is 10 tfachim. So it is very difficult. I have no choice, but all the achronim obviously deal with it. I found 2 rishonim deal with it. We're going to use Shai and Shitu Gebetzes here, and a shut ma'arach or a ruah, but I forget the same. But they say the same thing. So that, you know, doesn't matter that much. He says you have to reinterpret our whole Gemara. When our Gemara says lo yuxivi, lo tesxivi, it didn't mean. The Torah never says tes or yud, it says stam. Here you have to be a little lavdavka it. What the Gemara meant to say is, the Chumash never said there's 2 levels of yud and tes. Maybe there's only yud and tes is pater legamre. Maybe there's only yud and tes is pater legamre. And if tes is pater legamre, then it's not a tolda. It's pater legamre. So instead of reading it's all equally an av, they read as maybe it's pachal gamre, right? And then the rest of the Gemara becomes a little dachot. So what does the Gemara answer? Ava mesia lo. Va mesia lo, like in the beginning, Rashi hints that there's misa, but there's also chiv and the zikin. So you have to be nidchak in our sugya. Here you have to be, you have to say something dachot in our sugya, that what the Gemara meant, that tisha should be pater legamre, because only asara is in the Torah.
That's the opposite of the Pashut Shot of our Gemara. Pashut Shot of our Gemara, the first line is saying,
Lo teskivi yuksivi, 9 and 10 are equally in the Torah. The Torah is general. No, the Gemara says the opposite kasha. It's such clear that a stam bor is 10, that 9 should be patur legamri. And the rest of the Gemara doesn't flow so wonderful. Okay. I don't have if you have a better answer for Rashi Nafman on base, I'm happy to hear it. The better answer is that it's a machlokes between Rashi and the two places or something, but that's machlokes asogias, but that's not a wonderful answer.
The other option is, what do you say a stam bor?
If a stam bor is not a sara, maybe the other option is take our Gemara kipshuto,
right? Which is what the Ravid says there in his first answer.
Enough none of the days. And what Rashi says here at the end of the Gemara in his second opinion. Right? What does he say? Ki heichi de nafaglo mikra bor asar lemisa nafaglo mbor teslan zingin de slimin nafal shama shor chamar mashma bein meis bein huzak balo bor yishali.
The second day of Rashi sounds like a stam bor is anything. Right? So the Ravid over there in his first answer and the mashmaos of Rashi on daf gimel and beis. Yes, Ravid. Shah, right? The Ravid on the another base, in his second answer, says any depth. Right?
Bain taste bain yud. A stam bor means anything, because that's what Rashi will see in a moment. At the end of the sugya, Rashi says, yeah, stam bor means anything, whether it's hurt, whether it's 9, whether it's 10. They're both equally in pshat in the pasuk. So, they say a stam bor can be any depth. Of course, at our Gemara, here I mean the, which line in our Gemara? I mean, lo yud ksivi, the lo tes ksivi is the line in the Gemara that I mean, right?
That line, yud, lo yud ksivi, lo tes ksivi is kipshuto,
right? Yeah, obviously. Though in bor, doesn't say 9 or 10. A bor means any size bor. A bor is general. It means any pit in the ground. What about the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis? So here, it seems to me that like Rashi, in his first opinion here, matches Rashi Daf Nun on the Beis. Stam bors yud tvach. But Rashi, his second opinion here, Rashi in his second opinion here seems to disagree with what he says on Nun Beis. That's mutter. He has two opinions. The second opinion doesn't have to match what he says on Nun Beis. That matches what the Ravid says on Daf Nun Beis. And the only thing I can think of is, says the Ravid, this is Rabbi Yishaya, says the Ravid, Yaftu, he changes the girsa in the Mishnah there.
Our girsa in the Mishnah there says, why does it say bor? It says bor to teach you 10 tfachim.
Sounds like a stam bor is 10 tfachim. Okay, the Ravid just says maybe that's not the right girsa. Is there a Ravid in this? Anyone know? Not always to tell you about, huh? I don't know, maybe there isn't a Ravid in this. But the Ravid there says that, what, you have the Ravid there? I'll take it. Says the Ravid there, I should print this out. Says the Ravid there, Venerali de lo goras imkein loma nemar bor. Don't say, why did it say a bor? Alachi goras lo nemar bor. Kolomar velo nemar bor ledavka. Right? Pass it back, please. Just takes out the girsa loma nemar bor. Right? Change girsa in the Mishnah there and erase loma nemar bor. Okay, so if the Gemara is not explaining why it says bor, then it's not telling anything about stam bor. Okay, these are the two less clever possibilities. You could go with Rashi there and say stam bor is yud, which is mamish against the first line of Gemara here. And you have to reinterpret the first line of Gemara here radically, like Rabbi Yishaya. Say it doesn't mean 9 and 10 are equal. It means 9 should not be chayav at all. Or you could take our Gemara Kipshuto, like the Ravid's first opinion there, and like Rashi in his second opinion here, and say, no, stam bor is any depth. Why does the Mishnah say it teaches you 10 tefachim? It doesn't. Erase that line that says it's telling you why it's said a bor.
Just to defend the first, maybe stam bor is 10, mm-hmm. And our Gemara is just teaching that Ramesh Yerlo is saying that you need Kedil Hamas as a specific point and not just as the common case the Torah was talking about. Kedil Hamas is a necessary requirement.
But the Mishnah on Daf Nun and Beis said that we learned from Bor that Kedei L'Hamis is a necessary requirement.
From Bor itself, we learned the number 10, and we didn't know it mattered until Bamis Yerlo, but it's from the word Bor
that talks. Meaning when the Mishnah says that from the word Bor you learn
that it has Kedei L'Hamis. And the Mishnah on the Gemara,
but you're still checking, why does it need to say Bor? Why not just say Bamis Yerlo?
Because this is the number.
But we know Kimlu Lurban, and we know what Bamis Yerlo is anyway. Okay, what Chesi is trying to do is say you need both. What Tosfos is trying to do, but in a very different way, you need both Bor and Vamesia Lo. Vamesia Lo teach Bor a Stam Bor is a Sora, but you wouldn't know that's significant. Vamesia Lo teaches you need enough to kill, but you don't know that's 10. It's a little tricky if you don't know that's 10. How do you know to connect it? Maybe I'll believe the Sharfia. Of course, Tosfos or Rabbi Tam, quoted in all the Rishonim, says. Stam Bor Amokarbe, right? He basically, in order to get both Gemaras to work, he has to say neither of them mean exactly what they sound like. Stam Bor is Amokarbe. A Stam Bor is much more than 10. When the Torah says Bor, first of all, maybe people didn't dig boros that were just 10 tefachim deep. I don't know if I lived in the old days and I wanted to dig a bor to collect rainwater. I have no idea what life was like in the old days. But if I want to dig a bor, I imagine if I lived 3,000 years ago or whatever, years ago, and I wanted to dig a bore to collect 3,300, around, do the math, years ago, and I wanted to dig a bore to collect rainwater, I would probably dig a lot deeper than 10 tefachim. I mean, we don't have a lot of bores in Israel from the time of the Chumash. The Chumash was a long time ago. Like, the ones we have are from Bayashayim. But those bores are usually more than 10 tefachim, which makes sense. It's a big job to dig a bore. You don't just dig a bore. If you dig a bore, the water seeps into the ground. You have to plaster the bore, you have to reinforce the bore, and how much water do you need? Keep in mind, it doesn't rain from Pesach to Sukkot. You need a lot of water. You probably dig a giant bore. And that's not what Tosfos says. Tosfos just says they threw Yosef into the bore. If it was 10 tefachim, then it wouldn't have been very significant to throw him into the bore. He would have just climbed out of the bore. Obviously, Yosef's bore was very deep. And many other boros mentioned in Tanakh, like they throw people into bores, dead people, live people. Clearly, boros are very deep. So a stam bor means, like, really like a flight down. You know, like 3 meters deep or something. And therefore, that's what our Gemara means. Our Gemara says that neither 10 nor 9 is in the word bor. The word bor has neither 10 nor 9, because it doesn't mean either 10 or 9. The word bor means 50, or however much a deep bor is. So what is the Gemara saying over there? Neither, but the Hamets Yiyalo teaches us that it doesn't have to be such a deep bor. Anything big enough to kill, that's what Tosa says here. So Tosa says, what does the Mishnah over there mean? The Mishnah over there says, neither 9 or 10 is over the bor. But what is the next line anymore? The Hamis Yiyalo reduces it to 10. Right? How do you know? 10 tefachim, a boar means 100 tefachim. But Hamis Yiyalo means anything that could kill an animal. And 10 could kill an animal, so that reduces it to 10. And what does the Mishnah mean over here? It means from the Hamis Yiyalo. I wouldn't have known any minimum depth. From a Mesia Lo, I would just think the animal died. I wouldn't think the Darshan had to be a deep pit. But once the word bore means a very deep pit, the Mesia Lo goes and modifies that and reduces the depth to 10, right? But from bore, with the help of the Hamesielo, I know 10. And he gets both of them to work, right? What's Tosfos' basic bar? Just from Hamesielo, I wouldn't have known any minimum amount. I would have just said it died. Just the bore, I would say, very deep. A stam bore is very deep. It's not 9 or 10. Therefore, what's our Gemara saying? No, from the word bore, it's not 9 or 10 is written. A bore is very deep. You want to, on your own, say a shallow bore, but that's not in the pasuk. Maybe 9 and 10 are both told us.
from a stambor is very deep. You need vameziya lo to make a tenor. And that also matches the mission of Nunam Beis, because not that vameziya lo makes a tenor. Vameziya lo wouldn't do anything. That just modifies, that just mitigates the word bor from 100 to 10, and therefore both makoros work out. Okay, so we have three sheets about a stambor in the Torah means. Obviously, Tosa writes stambor in many places very deep. When they threw Yosef into a bor, it was obviously such a deep bor that you couldn't possibly climb out, right? Even if you find a foothold someplace, and even if you're a good climber, etc. But that doesn't mean that every stambor is the same. The Ravid would say that, and the Rashi over there would say, no, a stambor that you throw someone in is very deep. A stambor that you just dig for usage purposes, you're not planning to throw people in, is 10 tefachim. And the Ravid in his first opinion there would say, no, stambor isn't anything. Stambor you throw someone in is very deep. Stambor you don't throw someone in is not any particular depth. Okay, so that's a technical point in the first line of our Gemara. Now we're ready to go on and see the Lumdish, what's it holding. So says the Gemara, V'amesi alo amrachman, v'kim lo rabbanu yudav de misa, tes nizikin av de misa lo avdi. So in the end, the Gemara says, no, really, it does make sense. Yud should be a av, and tes should be a tolda, because v'amesi yiyalo teaches us that it's talking about a boar that's 10, because Chazal know that v'amesi yiyalo is a hint to a boar that's 10, which could kill an animal. The Gemara says, no, in the end, so is the av l'misa, the av l'nezika. No, in the end, this is av l'misa, and this is av l'nezika. In the end, they're both avos. Very, very clear, maskara the Gemara, tes and yod are both avos. But why? We just finished saying v'amesi yiyalo. So where's the transition there? Right? How do they know that ze av l'misa v'ze av l'nezakin if we just said v'amesi yiyalo? So how do we know that ze av l'misa v'ze av l'nezakin like the hefty tesa? Right? After all, the Torah only says v'amesi yiyalo. How do we know ze av l'misa v'ze av l'nezakin? So here we have many different opinions in the Rishonim. Rashi, what is Rashi? Rashi has two opinions. What's Rashi's first opinion, right? What's the makor? What's Rashi's first opinion? What's the makor of Av Lenizakin? An inference. Now, I have to admit, I don't know if you had the same experience as I did. I didn't find it to be a very strong inference. Now, you know, I understand Rashi said it. And maybe Rashi said it because his first day I was following what he said in Daf Nun and Beis, that Stambor is Yud. If Stambor is Yud, where is he going to get pes from? So says Rashi, Dim Nafal Shor Bebor Tisha V'meis Pater Balabor V'muzak Chayev V'av Hudami Diyuka Dukron Avka. It's an Av because it's from a Diyuk in the Pasuk. Notice, by the way, that this is not it's not so simple. Because Tosos on top of Gimel and Aleph thought that something that's not shot of the Pasuk is a Tolda. Okay, well, Rashi apparently thinks even the Diyuk of the Pasuk we have. What's the Diyuk? Mesi Elo, Dimashim, or Sard, Gar Nikhtel, Hu, the Chayiv, Mis, Ashur, Habotzrech, Misel, Chayiv, Hab, and Zikin, Mis Chayiv. The Diyuk is, Mesi Elo, only if it's 10 are you Chayiv on Misa. The Diyuk is, if it's 9, you're Chayiv on a Zikin. Okay, that's a big Diyuk. I don't know if I would make it myself. Okay, but Rashi makes it. I would just said, no, if it's 10, you're chayv on misa, and otherwise, you're not. But, says Rashi, that it's a diuk ha-pasuk. Okay, and then Rashi obviously has to hold that a diuk of the pasuk is not only a pshat of the pasuk is an av, even the diuk of the pasuk is an av, and even though Rashi in the beginning said, ksiv mikrav ahed, you what's written explicitly in the chumash? Okay, in his first opinion, he has to compromise a little and say explicit or diuk. Rashi's second opinion, which is better because you don't say a diuk. What's Rashi's second opinion? That where is the av for Ezekiel in the Torah? Right. So here Rashi really is retracting what we're saying until now, right? V'amesia lo, we thought V'amesia lo was modifying the whole Parsha, right? No. Really, the whole Parsha is general. If a guy digs a pit, and an animal falls in, he has to pay. That's general. Whether Nezikin or whether Nezikin or whether Misa, right? Okay. So here Rashi says basically, he says basically Yud is the Pshat HaPasuk, and Tess is the Dirka Pasuk.
Rashi, the second opinion, says no.
The Pshat Pasuk is, the Pshat is general.
It doesn't matter what happens. The Pshat HaPasuk is general. Whether it dies or whether it's injured is part of the Pshat of the Pasuk. And we're changing our mind. We don't darshan v'amesi yelo to mean that it's Davka talking about a case of Misa. Really, the Pshat of the Pasuk is no matter what happens. Okay, the Pshat of the Pasuk is no matter what happens. So, it's not about different size bores. So why are you only chayev if the Pshat of the Pasuk is whatever happens, and clearly if the Pshat of the Pasuk is whatever happens, that's not going to match what Rosh says in the base. This opinion is going to have to hold like the right of his first opinion, definitely in the base. Okay, so why, according to this, are you pater from Misa if it's not 10? Says Rashi. Says Rashi. The Pshat of the Pasuk is general. But Misa bibor tes is pater. If it dies in a bor tes is pater, next it's not covered by the Pasuk. First of any, Rashi says, you know why? If an animal dies in a bor tes, you're pater? Because the pasuk is talking about a bor yud, misa. There's a dia for a bor tes nezikin. And there's no source for misa in a bor tes. Here he's saying, no, there's a source for anything in any bor. So why are you pater in a bor tes if it dies? Because n, so what?
So probably didn't die from the bor.
Exactly. That's Rashi's chiddush. The lo machmas a bor mace, the invoke the longest. Because you didn't kill it. Now, the Akronim argue what Rashi meant. If you really want to be stubborn, you'll say, Rashi means if an ox falls into my boar test and dies, it must have coincidentally had a heart attack, because my boar couldn't have killed it. Okay, that was an amazing coincidence. I would prefer to read Rashi saying no. What he means is that if an animal falls into a boar test and dies, obviously it's not coincidence. It didn't happen to have a heart attack. Obviously its death had something to do with the boar. But the boar didn't cause its death. It must have had some pre-existing condition, or must have done something wrong, or someone must have done something wrong to it that caused it to react to the boar in a illogical manner. After all, just like with people, all chas v'shalom's lo aleinu's, you know, there are many things that would injure a person and would just be very slight and not a big deal, but you know, maybe there are some people who, because whatever, I don't know, because they took some drug, you know, it will kill them. What would normally be harmless will kill them. So over here, I think that's what Rashi's saying. That yes, the boar didn't really cause it. It must have been not coincidence that it happened to have a heart attack at the same exact second it fell into the boar, but there must have been something that was wrong with this animal that caused it to die based on the stimulus of the boar. And that's not considered your causation. Okay, in many things in this sugya, there's a big machlokas achronim based on Shonim, whether you say it's also a sheet of self bonus in a boar, even though you wonder why it sounds like there is, or at least in this case a boar, maybe.
And that's an advantage.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. But Rashi says you didn't cause it. It's potter because the, what's his lashon? Lo machmas habor meis. Lo machmas habor meis. Okay, if you want, you can say he means it was just coincidence. Or if you want to say it wasn't coincidence, but it wasn't the boar's causation, it was merely the boar's grumma of the causation of something else that was wrong with it. Okay, are there any other opinions as to how we know there's nezikin in the Chumash? By the way, you see, by the way, the difference in these two Rashis is already vast. For one Rashi, the Chumash is really about Yod. Yet, we have some other diuk of Tess, and that counts as an Av. For the second Rashi, there's really no difference in Yod and Tess at all. They're both equally in the Chumash. Okay, what do the other Rishonim say? Anyone? What does Tosfos say? What does Tosfos say? Why are they both avos?
Rishonim says.
But Tosfos says something before that. No, this is based on the Rabbeinu Tam. Says Tosfos. You know why they're both avos? They're both avos because neither of them is in the word bor. Neither of them is Pshut or Shel Mikra. Because Pshuto Shel Mikra is that it's very deep. However, we darshan from Amesi Yalo, what did I just say? Pshuto Shel Mikra bores very deep. Amesi Yalo mitigates it and says even 10 tefachim. Okay, but Pshuto Shel Mikra is that it's very deep. So you have one drasha of Amesi Yalo to say 10 tefachim. Then you have another svara of 9 tefachim for Nezikin. But neither are in the pasuk. The pasuk's talking about something that's not a halachic category, a boar that's 100 tefachim deep, right? That's what Tosfos says. I'll just read it to you.
Self zosa avnun is avnun. Zakim perish kevin bor yod looks if he had yalam of kinim misvarva, macielo, the meaning of the lohamis, etc. Bor test nami have misvarva.
Says Tosfos that neither is pshat.
Pshat is, it was a very deep pit, because Tosfos thinks, again, Tosfos thinks there's only one kind of bor in chumash, and it doesn't depend on the context, and a bor in any context means something very deep that you would throw Yosef into. What? So if neither is pshat, then that makes them both an av, right? If there's pshat and drash, then the pshat is an av and the drash is a tolda. But if neither is pshat, there has to be an av of bor. There's a pasuk of bor. There's a pasuk of bor. There has to be an av. Should the av be yud or tes? Well, neither one is pshat. If neither one is pshat, then you have two choices. Either neither is an av, but then there has to be some av because there's a pasuk of bor. So then they both have to be an av. Or neither is pshat, and therefore they are both an av. Because they're both just svaras. What's the svara? The svara of yud is, we say, yeah, bor means very deep, but for amesia lo, we think even if it's 10 tefachim deep. And what's the svara of 9? Well, if 10 tefachim deep causes misa and you're chayiv for misa, then 9 causes nezikin, you should be chayiv for nezikin. So they're both svaras. Now, yeah, one svara sort of comes first. One svara is closer to the pasuk than the other. But they're both drushas or svaras, and therefore they're both avos, right? It's the, you know, the opposite of Rashi. Rashi says they're both pshat. Tos says neither one is pshat. And Rashi's first thing says one is pshat, one is drash. But a drash can be a tolda. At least this kind of drash, right? You could say it depends how strong of a drash. What does Yerushalmi say, by the way? The Yerushalmi says that bor, it's a reboy of bor. Right, the Yerushalmi says that now it's hard to tell, but you know what the Yerushalmi says in its own context. But clearly, in our context, the way Tosfos understands is that pshat is. And this is similar to Rashi's first shot. Yud is pshat in the pasuk, and tes is learned from a reboy of bor. It does say yiftachish bor ok yichreish bor lo yichasenu. It totally could have said bor once, and the pasuk would have read fine. So the extra bor is also to include the bor that's deep enough for nizikin. What?
Make a case.
Correct.
And then and each one would have their own.
Correct. But at least the second bor is for this. There's one more mainstream pshat that the Ravid says, and the Ma'ariv Katz, and the Tosfos Rosh, and the Tosfos Bein Peretz quote from Rav Moshe Mi'evru, one of the famous Bali Tosfos. Okay, now not all the Bali Tosfos are so famous. And there are two brothers, I think, Rav Moshe Mi'evru and Shmuel Mi'evru, and they wrote Tosfosim that we have in some sechtas. So they quote a different shot from Rosh Mi'evru. It's in the Tosfos in Paris, and the Tosfos Rosh in the Shita, and the Ravid says it on his own. He didn't know it. I don't think he knew what Rav Moshe Mi'evru said necessarily. But the Rav Moshe Mi'evru, I have no idea how to spell it in Hebrew. I mean, every Rishon spells it differently on every page, because it's, I know how to spell it E-V-R-E-U-X. I know how to spell it in French. But Rav Moshe Mi'evru, however you spell it, and the Ravid, they say that also Yud is pshat of the pasuk. So where do we learn Tess from? Tess is a diyuk midrashas kore achar kore. What do we mean by this? That the Gemara asks, why does it have to say if you open or dig a bor? If you open a bor, you're chayev. Kolshkin, if you dig a bor, you're chayev. The answer is being Marabez, a korah achar korah, someone who digs a bore a little deeper, who digs deeper. Meaning, Shlomi dug 9 tefachim, I dug 1 more tefach, to be Marabez that I am chayiv, even though I didn't do all the digging since I did the last digging. Okay, the exact details, maybe we'll get to. So they all make a diuk. Ah, what's the diuk? The diuk is, it's not that if he dug 10 and then I made it 11, then I'm talking not chayiv. And it's not if he, so what's the case? It must be he dug 9 and then I made a 10. And then it's teaching I'm chayev. What's the hav mean I'd be potter? If there's no such chiyav as a bor of 9, if a bor of 9 has no chiyav at all, then if he digs 9, 9 to 10, of course I'm chayiv. I did the whole thing. So the chiddush must be, he's chayiv for the 9, partially, but since I make it 10, and I'm making a more effective bor, then I become chayiv, which shows that a bor of 9 is chayiv. So since you need to teach that if he digs 9 and I add 1, I'm chayiv, that shows he did something significant, which proves that a bor of 9 is chayiv partially. Okay, it's a diyuk, but it comes from that drasha. So basically we have, you know, three basic, if you ask me, three basic drachim, which is like what's pshat, what's drash, right? Rashi and the Yerushalmi and the Moshe Mevru and the Ravid say Yud is pshat, Rashi's first, and Tes is drash. Rashi's second answer says they're both pshat, and Tosus' answer says neither one is pshat. The Tosus has one problem with Rashi's second answer, which is the drush of Shor v'lo Adam. We darshim v'nafal shama Shor chamor, Shor v'lo Adam, chamor v'lo kelim. Right, your chayif, a Shor falls into your bor, not if an Adam falls into your bor. But it's very clear in the Gemara later that when are you potter for an Adam? Your potter for an Adam dies in your bor, chas v'shalom. If an Adam gets injured in your bor, your chayif. So the drush of Shor v'lo Adam only potters Misa and not Nizikin. And this was Tosa's problem with Rashi. Tosa's problem with Rashi is the drashas shor v'lo adam mayri. Why? Nizikin. Why is the drasha of shor v'lo adam only going on Misa? It only pots you for killing a person. It doesn't pot you for injuring a person. So for these approaches, it's obvious because it's Mayri al Hapshat. Yeah, that just don't get the Pshat case. The Pshat case is a case of Misa, of Misi alal. It's not talking about the case that's we're Medayik. Here also, Mayri on the Pshat. That's what Tosa says in the end. Yeah, the drush of Shor v'lo Adam is not going on the case where Marbe from some roundabout diuk. It's only on the case that's mamish in the pasuk. What's mamish in the pasuk is bor yod misa, so it's mamish Adam from misa. Tosa says for himself that is also fine. that is also fine because where's Tosa himself? He says it's Mayri al shat ha-pasuk she'osek b'misa. Meaning, Tosa thinks the pasuk shat of the pasuk is not 10. Pasuk shat of the pasuk is very deep and that's why it dies. But the pasuk shat of the pasuk is still talking about an animal dying. It's just the difference in Tosa and everyone else says the pasuk shat of the pasuk is it's talking about a 10 tefach bor that an animal dies in. Tosa says the pasuk shat is really talking about 100 tefach bor the animal dies in. But we darshan that it's a 10 tefach bor. Okay, but nonetheless, the case it's talking about is Misa. For Rashi, Tosa says, this is difficult. If the pshat, pashup pshat of the pasuk is talking about neutral, general, bein tes, bein yod, bein azakin, lein Misa, says Rashi, pashup pshat of the pasuk is talking about everything. The maskana, the pashup pshat is talking about everything. If the pashup pshat is talking about everything, then why don't we Memaid an Adam, why don't we exempt you for anything that happens to an Adam? That's why, one of the reasons Tosu rejects Rashi, as he says, MK, Kidarshin and Shorvalo Adam, Havli, the Main, Nami, Adam, mean Zakin. Okay. Anyone want to answer this question? How would you answer this question? It's not a good question, Rashi. Rashi in the second shot says, the Pasuk is totally neutral, it's talking about equally any type of damage. So then if we're mind Adam, we should mind any kind of damage to an Adam. Why are we only mind Misa of an Adam and not Nizikin of an Adam?
What I understood when I said Amar Abanan, Rashi has this problem that the Pasuk said Nafasham Shorachma, therefore either Nizikin or Misa is Chayav. But the Pasuk also said Bamesi Yerla. So Rabbanan had to decide how deep it needs to be what Bamesi Yerla. And they decided 10 is for death and 9 is not for death. And then at least that means that at least on the Pshat level, it is Mayri B'Misa.
You're saying Rashi says the Pshat level is Mayri B'Misa?
Yeah.
But didn't he just say that the top level is Mairi?
But what does Amrabanan mean? They had to decide that there's also this separate issue of a certain type of ball being Chayav Misa.
Yeah, but what's interesting is that Rashi does not say that they learn it from Vamesiolo, right? This is Svara. So, and you're saying something very subtle, which, you know, that the pshat is at the same time both and at the same time yud. Okay, maybe, but the Rav gives a different answer.
Based on Rashi on him and Bates, where it says Adam is not right for more. So there's a spar, like, why did we pick Shor below Adam, Chamor below Caleb? Like, why did we randomly pick those two things? Because those things are considered not right for a boar. And the way in which Adam is not right for a boar is not to die in a boar. So there was a spar.
Aha, okay. So that's basically the opposite of what I want to say. Not what I want to say, what the Rav says. But I want to say it before I start my Rav. I'll take the blame if it's not good, and the Rebbe will take the credit if it is. So here you have an interesting hakira. An interesting hakira is, why is a boar pater and an adam? Now, in all of Bava Kamma, you have these questions of, you know, if we were learning Maseches Parah, and I said, well, Taka, why is it that, you know, etc. You know, if we're learning Maseches Negoyim, and I said, why is it? You would probably answer, because it's like Xeris HaKasav, don't start asking me, why is it? And you'd probably be right, you know, on a practical level. But in Bava Kamma, you know, you can always say Xeris HaKasav. I mean, it's always the easy answer. Everything's a, why is an Adam Pater and a Bor? Ah, Xeris HaKasav. You know, why is a Shein Regal Pater, which is a Rabin, Xeris HaKasav? Why is Tom and Pater, but Ace, Xeris HaKasav? Why is everything Xeris HaKasav? But I think that at least on the Hachila level, I'd like to assume that, you know, it's all Xeris HaKasav in the sense that I wouldn't have said it without the drasha of the Pasuk. Yes, I wouldn't have made all these laws of the Torah on my own. But once the Torah said them, there are two kinds of Xeris HaKasav. There's like Xeris HaKasav, the Torah said in its inscrutable divine wisdom, without getting to philosophy as to whether it's fundamentally inscrutable or practically inscrutable. Well, you know, we're not... We don't need to understand these things. The lo machshav sai machshav sechem lo darchechem drachai. Then there's Xeris HaKasav. I wouldn't have known to say that on my own, but once the Torah says it, like, I understand where it's coming from. I'd like to think that to the best of our ability, and hopefully our ability will be, you know, close to 100%, that all of the basic rules in the Zikin are Xeris HaKasav. We might not have thought of them on our own, like maybe in, you know, the state of California, they didn't make this rule on their own. But they make sense. You know, everything makes sense. It's a judgment call. It makes sense to say this way. It could have made sense to say the other way. So someone needs to make a judgment call if it makes sense to say three different possibilities. Which one really makes sense? Only Hashem knows how to make that judgment call, not us. Fine, that's why we need a Torah. But when Hashem makes the judgment call, he's not saying something random and arbitrary. He's saying a Svara. Just, you know, we wouldn't have known which Svara to go with in which circumstance. So I'd like to think that all the rules of this game are Svaras. And so if you ask why is an Adam Pater and a Bar, we're not going to fully answer now. You know, don't say just Xeris HaKasav. Say maybe there is something to it, which you could say in many, many different ways. But just give me a second. The two basic ways you could say why a behemoth is chayav and the adam is potter, or on the behemoth you're chayav and on the adam you're potter, is either because of the maisa or because of the totsah. Meaning, either the animal falling into the boar is more your fault than an adam falling into the boar, which the Rechetsky was going. Right, and the reason why is obvious, because the Adam has intelligence, he acts independently more than an animal, and therefore it's your fault. The animal fell into the boar, it's not so much your fault, the Adam fell into the boar. Right, the Adam shouldn't have fallen into the boar, which is what Chesky's saying. Right? In which case, Chesky's going to say, that's very, what does that have to do with us? He's going to say, now I can defend Rashi. Why do we differentiate between an Adam, Misa, and a Zikin? So for everyone else, it's based on the Pasuk. Then you can ask, well, it's a Svara, but at least based on the Pasuk for Rashi, you have to say it's a Svara. Basically, the answer is, it is a Svara lechalik bein Misas Adam le Nezek Adam, right? What is the Svara? Says Chesky, based on the input, based on the Misa. It's normal and expected and fitting that an Adam might trip in a boar and get hurt. However, it's not normal, it's not expected that an Adam would die in a boar. Right? An Adam shouldn't die in a boar, and if he did, it's his own shia. But an Adam could trip in a boar.
Meaning you have a small boar that an Adam trips in. You know, that's not his fault. That's my fault for digging it. You have a big boar and Adam jumps off a cliff and dies. That's not my fault. He shouldn't jump off a cliff and die. Could he trip over a little indentation in the ground and bang his knee? Yes. If he dies, that's not my fault. An Adam should not be dying in a boar.
Element, because if you do fall in a super high boar and only get hurt, the guy is still fine. It's not that he's putter any high one, the person should make sure not to fall in the high one, as much as that if you do fall in, you should make sure that you don't die.
Or if an Adam falls into a boar, he should somehow try to grab onto the sides and...
It's a mixture of the two.
So Chesky, yeah, now we know. You ever want a shoulder to cry on, Rachmanas, you know, help in a difficult situation, don't go to Chesky. He'll tell you, why'd you fall into the boar? You should have grabbed onto the side, like in the movies, and hung on. Until the helicopter came and rescued you.
I'll give you a rope next time.
Okay, fine. Maybe, Esher, that's not what I was going to say. But it could be, right, says Chesky. Says Chesky, because it is the... it's a person's fault if he dies in a boar. Right? Now, that's not a person's fault every time he dies. You know, if my axe gores someone and he dies, that's not his fault. How's he supposed to protect himself against the goring axe? I'm chayev. You know, there's serious fiyuvim involved there. Maybe even misvidei shemayim at a certain point. But an Adam shouldn't be... An Adam is responsible. He's not responsible to check for every crack in the sidewalk, so that he doesn't, bang his knee. No, that's the guy's fault to put the crack in the sidewalk. But an Adam shouldn't fall into a boar, and if he does fall into a boar, he should brace himself.
It's
not my sort of
thing.
I didn't say this far at all.
I know, from the outside.
Moshe.
The Gemara in Afternoon Base says a calf from Mahalach Bayom.
Yeah, that's the thing. Meaning, most pointing out is the Gemara actually covered these factors already. They said it depends who, it depends how dark, etc. So by the time you get through the Gemara there, then already Mela, there's only a half meaning a chayv on an Adam. If it was night, then if it was this, it was that. In that case, maybe it's not his fault for dying. I hope that's where you were going.
I thought it was a short calf.
Yeah, but the Gemara also...
Even a short calf is expected to protect itself.
So you're supporting him. Okay, could be. Could be, and the short calf is like an extension of this idea. Okay, could be. Now, the Rav says something a little different. The Rav says it's not about what happened. It's about... Not about how it happened. It's about the result. Says the Rav, you're comparing Adam to a shore. So here's a fascinating question. And I'm not saying there's a one right answer. The Rav thinks he knows the right answer. Is hurting an Adam the same as hurting an animal or not? Okay, so in my old alma mater, there's a professor named Peter Singer who holds that, what does he hold? He has a famous quote, a boy is a cat, is a pig, is a dog. Meaning people and animals are the same thing, right? You know, in the liberal veld nowadays, that it's generally assumed that there's no difference between people and animals, and all lives are equally precious, and you shouldn't be a speciesist, etc. Okay, one could argue sociologically whether, you know, that is because Melech people behave like animals, then it's more mistaper to them, or it's more mistaper to them, so that people can behave like animals. But in any case, there are certain velts which say, not our velt, that people and animals are basically the same. You know, v'nafal shom ashor, v'huadin chamor, v'huadin, you know, keleb, v'huadin adam. They're all animals. So some mammals are fancier than other mammals. No big deal. So, okay, we generally, that's not our mahalach. That's not what it says from the very beginning of the Chumash till the very end of everything. But it's an interesting question. How about damage to a person and damage to an animal? Are those the same thing or different things? And says the Rav, here Rashi had a svara. It's a difference between nezikin and misa, right? If a person dies or if an animal dies, those are two completely different results. Not in terms of the process, how he came to die. The result, a person dying and an animal dying are two totally different results.
animal dying is maki behemri shalmena, as the pasuk says in Emor maki odem yumas. Right? As Tanav Yechizkiah says, ma maki behema lo chilakdaba, etc., etc. Af maki odem lo chilakdaba, just like maki behema is always in the realm of Dini Mamonos, killing people is always in a more transcendent realm than Dini Mamonos. A person dying is completely different than a cow dying. Even if that cow was very precious to you, even if you really liked that cow, even if that cow was the parnas of your whole family, and even if the cow lived with you for 10 years and was part of your family, it doesn't matter. A person dying is different than an animal dying. When a person dying dies, you sit shiva. When an animal dies, you do not. However, a person being injured might not be fundamentally different than an animal being injured. Yes, it's annoying for a person to be injured, but it's not a steer to the Tselem Elokim for a person to be injured. There's not a lack of Tselem Elokim like there is when a person dies. When a person is injured, you know what? He now has physical difficulties accomplishing things. And if my horse is injured, I also have physical difficulties accomplishing things. It is a physical impediment. It creates physical difficulties. Now, of course, intuitively in our heads, we might say there's injury and there's injury. But if we're going to make general categories, says the Rav, nezek to an adam and nezek to a shor are misvar in the same category. They're called nezek. Mis of an adam, mis of a shor are merely homonymous, right? They are two completely different results, which just happen to biologically share some, scientific principles.
Like Mazda.
What?
I would say by Mazda.
Yeah, and like one of the exactly like we said in the Piskerid. So says the Rav very poshut. Misvara nezek la'adam. Shaveh le nezek shor, aval misas adam shiny mi misas shor. And therefore, how do we darshan? What do you shor v'lo adam? Shor v'lo adam, when there's a difference between shor. How do we know to darshan shor v'lo adam? So Chesky would say we knew to darshan shor v'lo adam based on the process. How easy is it for a ox to keep himself from dying in the pit, and how easy it is for a person to keep himself from dying in the pit? Okay, people have intelligence, they also have hands and opposable thumbs and lots of other useful things, so that is different. But the Rav says, no, we didn't look at the process, we looked at the result. Shor is shor different than the same? And we said, Misvara, for Nezikin, if the shor breaks his leg and the adam breaks his leg, it's much more annoying when the adam breaks his leg. Okay, but they're both physical obstacles, they keep you from productive labor. But shor includes adam. When it comes to misa, a misa of an adam is totally different from misa of shor. Misa of shor is economic. And nezik of shor is economic. And nezik of a person is economic. Misa of a person, that's not economic, that's transcendent. And therefore, that's obviously different than misa of a shor.
Two problems. One is that it's not doing the kibbutz any longer. It's totally random, that kibbutz. As opposed to the first shot, it's exactly the same as kibbutz. Kibbutz aren't supposed to fall into board at all. Whoever's dropped it into the board, it's their fault. And the second point, the stronger question...
Okay, you're making assumptions there.
Okay, but at least it could be doing the kibbutz. His is not at all. The second problem, though, is much bigger. That Rashi on Hamad Bey says Adam is not Roy for a boy. And Rashi explains anal Roy in general by Shani. And Tosos argued on Rashi there, which is why I think Tosos didn't defend Rashi this way. Rashi thinks Adam is not Roy for a boy. And Rashi explains what anal Roy means by H and what anal Roy means by Shani as when he's not expected to be damaged. So it's partial with Rashi.
It's not expected for all those
9 points. Rashi
Lishi
doesn't.
You heard the
Taina. The Gemara also says that they've been out of this
stuff. Okay, so still don't die. Still don't die.
Right, at least brace yourself. That's why Chazuk is saying brace yourself, because he knows the Gemara really covers.
Is it a combination of those effects?
You hear his Taina. He says, I'm saying a nice svara, and the rub sounds very nice and highfalutin, but that's not what Rashi says. What does Rashi say?
This is a tax, Rashi.
Where is this line? Near the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right here.
enough for him. Kim and Potibel, Bart Sev Shoshaman. Okay, that's a good Ha'ara.
My agent actually explained the Ha'ara means unexpected.
But that explains it's going to get damaged by it. Well, that's good.
Okay. Says Chesky. Says Chesky. Okay, maybe I wouldn't even say person's fault, but
it is
not logical for a person to die in a bore. Right, if you want to make a good parallel, just like it's not logical for an animal to eat, televisions, and etc. And it's not logical for a fire to burn stones, but you're chayav anyway. Normally a fire wouldn't burn stones. Okay, so says Chesky that even though the it's not as fancy as the Rav, but Alpi Rashi on Daf Hey Amud Beis, who says something which is not in the Gemara, which is that Bor is Potter and Davar She'eino Ro'i Lo, who says that Adam Eino Ro'oi Le Nizkei Bor. Right, that's what Chesky's saying. So maybe Chesky's right, okay.
Rashi, the next line in Rashi is Dechsiv Nachal Shama Shora Chamor Shor Belo Adam Chamor Belo Kelim. So he's explaining, because the Drasha says Adam
Yehara. Right, that's the thing. The question is, could you get out of Chesky's Taina by saying, Eino Roi just means there's something that you're Pater on, which is where Moshe is suggesting.
Eino Roi, why is not saying Eino Roi?
Okay, we're going to leave that with Tzarechian for now and go back to okay, Tzarechian, Rabbi Osai, let's go. We need, what? We need to move.
Question on the Rav, though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even our, when we learned in Sufis,
we're so mean.
The Gemara said that there should be Malchus for Adam Amazi. And just the tashlumin are a taflit,
okay.
So then you're saying that there's really these kayadam are not just king mamon.
Okay, but Malchus might not be a transcendent compared to mamon. But I hear you're trying to have to think about it.
If Adam is more transcendent and behemoth is just mamon, wouldn't it make sense that for Adam you're chayav and for behemoth you're punter?
You're saying because it's worse to kill an Adam. So if it's worse to kill an Adam, wouldn't you say that you are chayev? So here it gets a little tricky because the question is, what is the punishment of killing an Adam? So if you think the punishment would be kofar, then it makes sense. Yeah, it's worse to kill an Adam, but we're not going to make you pay kofar because, like, you have to be really more actively involved to pay kofar. And here you weren't actively involved. If you're saying, no, there's a having to pay damim for an adam, then, okay, so if Rashi does hint in a few places that this drasha comes to Potter from Kofar, which creates some problems, which we'll get to in Meretz Hashem, then we say Kofar is Misa Deshamayim. Okay, you're not going to be chayav Misa Deshamayim just for digging a pit. That's not active enough. So even though you did something worse, but if you did something worse, the punishment is worse, and we can't punish you so harshly. That's what I'm saying. Yes, it's worse, but that doesn't mean if you're chayav on something small, you're chayav on something worse, because maybe you did something bad enough that we'll give you a small chayav, but nothing bad enough that we'll give you a big chayav. Okay, I think that now I am ready to move on and ask a very simple lumdish question. Says the Rashba here. The Gemara says, Ze'av l'misa, v'ze'av l'nezakin. Okay, how many ovels are there in Bor? How many ovos did the Gemara just say there are? Ze'av l'misa, ze'av l'nezakin. Sounds like there are two ovos in Bor. Who says that explicitly? There are two ovos in Bor? No one? Okay. Then forget it. Let's go home. We are home. I thought the Rashba said it. What did the Rashba? I'll read you the Rashba. You tell me what you think. Says the Rashba. Velesa. Debor asara bortisha harehin ki keren shamu edit shal nezik shal mitame in shal machatzi nezik. Fisha kol echameim av la atzmo. Each one is an independent, la atzmo, independent av. The Avalkan Bez Kronosain, Lori Zekri Zev, Chena Dinbor Asara Bortisha. What's he saying? He's saying, don't think it's like regular Sruros at the end of this Sugya.
on Amud Beis, that, yeah, there's two levels of Chiyav, but one is Av, one is Tolda. No. He says, why don't we say Yud is an Av, Tess is a Tolda? Why do we say they're both Avos? Says they're both Avos. What makes them both Avos? Says the Rashba. They're both Avos because they are two separate things, just like Keren Muad and Keren Tam are not the same Keren, which does two different things. They're two different animals. This animal's Muad, this animal's Tam. Likewise, Bor Tess and Bor Yud is not the same Bor doing two different things. A Bor Tess is a different Bor from a Bor Yud. Like, there's a Bor Tess and there's a Bor Yud. Same Bor can't be Tess and Yud. And therefore, he says, Bor Tess and Bor Yud are like Keren Tam and Keren Muad, but here's the money line. Kol Echad Meim Av La'atzmo. I thought that was pretty clear. Kol Echad Meim Av La'atzmo. Each one of them is a separate Av. And why? Because they're two different Heftzes. So don't compare it to a Regal doing this and a Regal doing that. It's the same foot. Don't compare it to a Shane eating this or Shane eating that. It's the same mouth. But over here, they're two different Bors. If you want to see a Bor Yud and a Bor Tess, you have to dig two Bors. So, Kol Echad Meim Av La'atzmo, I thought he's trying to say they're two separate Avos, which could be Pshat in the Gemara, Zeh Av L'Misa, Zeh Av L'Nezik, and they're two separate Avos. Okay, they could be two separate Avos, but what's the other way of reading Zeh Av L'Misa, Zeh Av L'Nezikin? And which Rishon would read it that way? Well, how about Rashi's second Pshat? What does Rashi's second Pshat say? Why are they both Avos? Because the Pasuk's general, right? It's not about a specific depth of Bor. Okay? If the Pasuk's general, then how many Avos are there? Only one. Right? What's Rashi saying? The Pasuk is not about Tess or Yud. The Pasuk is general. It's about any Bor. Then there's only one Av Nezikin. There's one general Bor. Oh, why is there a difference between Misa and Nezak? And that's a Svara we had. Right, so I think Yesh Makom Lachor Chesky. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if you make you multitask. But I think that we can for sure ask the following question, which is, how many Avos are there? Are there two different Avos in Bor, or is there one Av in Bor? Just when it comes to the applications, the details sometimes change. So let us ask this question: do we say Ze'av l'misa v'ze'av l'misa v'ze'av l'nezikin? Right? There are two ways we can interpret that, in my humble opinion. No, objectively. There are two ways we can interpret that. We can say what it means is that they are two separate avos. And this is what the Rashba says, Rashba says, Kol Echad Av Le'atzmo. Right? Each one is a separate Av.
But he compared it to Tam and Muad.
Which he's saying is two separate Avos.
But they really carry.
What?
But they really won. They really just carry. They're El Chotea. So he doesn't really mean the two, like. I mean, Karen is one Av.
Karen is counted once in the Mishnah, that's what you're saying. First of all, that's a little tricky. Karen is counted, first of all, Karen might be counted zero times in the Mishnah, okay, right? Or if it is counted one time in the Mishnah, maybe it's only Karen Muad that's counted. So I don't think you have a good proof. Yeah. Okay. Or what you have is, you could say no. It's one general Av. And this is Rashi in Dea Bet, who says, there is no separate muck. Remember, out of all these opinions, he's the one that says they're both equally pshat. Right? The mashma bein mesu bein huzak. Right? It's all the same. Right? Rashi Deabet says bein mes bein huzak is pshat. Okay. Now, the question we're going to ask now is, and I'll you know, you say, who cares? Lamaisa, Yod is Chayv Misa, Tess Chayv Nezakin. So, first of all, before I answer who cares, the question, the question will be, why is a Bor Tess Potter from Misa? Why is a Bor Tess Potter from Misa? Right, valid question. Why is Bor Tisha Potter from Misa? So Rashi gave an answer. What did Rashi say? Not because it's a different kind of Av, right? Said Rashi, because a bor tesis pacha for misa, it would theoretically be chayiv in misa. It just didn't cause the misa. It's kim hulu rabana that didn't cause the misa. Right, so says Rashi, it theoretically could be chayiv. After all, it's one av. A bor is chayiv for damage. You know why a bor tesis pacha for misa? Because it didn't cause the misa. That's why it's pater. Like, it could have been chayiv for misa, except that.
Right? But, practically, it can never cause misa. Okay.
So, yeah, it's in the category. Basically, it's one av. Every bor is chayiv for everything it causes. Since a bor test can't cause misa, then you're pater. For the Rashba, what might I say? And I'm actually going to say that. But I'm going to show you why I think this makes sense. So for the Rashba, you could very well say, that, no, this is Gzeiras HaKosov. The Av of Bor Yud is for Misa, and the Av of Bor Tes is for Nizakin. Right? Now, obviously, it's not a random Gzeiras HaKosov. You know, it's based on something, but we'll see in a moment what difference it makes. The Rambam has a slightly different formulation. Why does the Rambam say a bor tes is pater if an animal dies? Four letters?
Onus.
What is onus? Now, it's a funny onus. What does onus mean? Onus means the... Now, he's not Rashi. Rashi says, you know why you're pater? Because you didn't cause the Misa. The Rambam says, you did cause the Misa. You just caused it by onus, so you're not chayav, right? So he's definitely not like Rashi. Right, what does it mean, ba'ones? Meaning, you did, a bor tes did cause misa. But it was not foreseeable. It was not predictable. Onus means, I caused something to happen, but it probably wouldn't have happened, and therefore it's not my fault if it happened. Like, I caused something, but I wasn't negligent. It just, I caused something that usually would not be caused in these circumstances. That's onus. So, I dug a bor. The bor wouldn't usually cause misa. And it only rarely caused misa. And since this is one of the rare cases that caused misa, since I couldn't have predicted that, I wasn't responsible to worry about it, and that's the onus.
And when we learned that, a person is either a responsible person or he's not a responsible person. If he's a responsible person, he doesn't make it.
Right.
Oh, I'm only going to injure him, that's okay. But if I wouldn't want to kill him, I just want to injure him. That's not
so
a, that's
the, not a, yeah, the Achronim asked this in more form of technical sense. They say, what about tchilos of pshia v'sofa ba'onis? Which is the same basic intuition, which is like, what do you mean I was onus? Like, I wasn't doing something okay. I was just doing something that would cause this much damage. Ah, but I never dreamed it would cause that much damage. So the Rambam's a big mako here, right? So they technically ask, what about the philosophy of Shiva Sofa onus? Or just intuitively, like, what do you mean onus? The guy was doing something wrong. So I don't have a great answer. Somehow the Rambam thinks you can say, even though I did something wrong this much, since I didn't do anything wrong that much, you can't hold me responsible. But let me go back in a second. What would make sense in the Rambam here, perhaps? Here says the Rambam, onus. You're potter because of onus. On the one hand, you might say, he's like Rashi. There's one category of bor. A bor is chayav for anything unless it's onus. But Misa Nebor Tess is onus, so he could be going this way. But on the other hand, I hear Aaron's kasha. What do you mean it was onus, it's not your fault? You put a bor in the street, so you thought it would do $5 of damages. You didn't think it would do $10 of damages. Is that really not your fault? So maybe yes. Or maybe you could say no. He works well for the Rashba. If there'd be one av of bor, you made a dangerous bor. You're responsible. Don't give me excuses that you didn't know how dangerous it would be. But if there are two different levels of bor, if bor tes and bor yud are two totally different things, then already maybe you could say misa and zikin are two totally different halachic chiyuvim. So say, for the chiyuv of nizikin, I was a poshea. But for the chiyuv of misa, I was an onus. And don't say, what do you mean you're an onus for misa? You knew you were doing nizikin. No, if they're two different avos, then you can't say, if I'm poshea for one, I'm responsible for the other.
That's in the poshea's alamna.
Aha. Okay, you're still not satisfied. Okay, so what I'm saying is the Rambam can go both ways. It's still a chiddush. I admit it's still a chiddush, right? This has to do with the sugya of yesh omid l'nezakin, meaning it's not the Rambam's fault. It's a good sugya in daf tzadi aleph that maybe you're not responsible for damaging someone if you hit them in a way that shouldn't have damaged them so much. Which you could say the same thing, like ma pitom. Okay, so we'll have to come back to it if we can. Anyway, lemaisa, I think the Rambam could go both ways. You could say there's one av, just there's a p'tur onus on misa and tes. We could say, no. We wouldn't say p'tur onus in a quantitative difference. I only thought I'd do this much. I'm honest for doing that much. We don't say p'tur for a qualitative difference. I thought I'd be in this category. I didn't imagine I'd be in that category. Then we could have p'tur onus. So I think they go both ways. Now again, so far I haven't actually given any concrete nafkaminas. What are some concrete nafkaminas? So I think a very nice one is the fascinating machlokas about the ingedor. The rolling oxen on Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph. Now the Rambam Shita I'm not going to get into, because the Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph is based on Rav Nachman Shita and Chulin, and the Rambam seems to paskin against Rav Nachman and Chulin, and that might undercut the whole sugya. So we're going to forget what the Rambam says for now about that Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph, because he might just disagree with the Chulin part of that sugya. But let's take the sugya. What does the sugya say? If an animal, a trefa, an animal that falls and gets a fatal injury is trefa. Okay, so how far does it have to fall to get a fatal injury? So the Gemara says, well, if it falls into a six tefach drainage channel, that's a fatal injury. Hold on, we just said 10 tefachim can kill. How could you say 6 tefachim can kill? Gemara says, no problem. The animal is already 4 tefachim off the ground because its legs go up 4 tefachim. Right? Right, cow, they're on the legs, 4 tefachim up. So its body is already 4 tefachim high. So if it falls into a 6 tefach ditch, it really fell 10 tefachim. 4 tefachim from where it was on its legs. And then 6 tefachim into the ditch. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. Then why is a boar only 10 tefachim? The boar should be 6 tefachim because it's 4 tefachim on its legs. The Gemara says, no, ingedor. If it rolls into the boar, then you need a 10 tefach boar, right? So if here is my boar, and the animal, when it rolls into the boar, means it goes upside down, right? The animal is, I'm very bad at drawing animals, although I didn't need to say the word animals. If the animal rolls into the boar like this, then the Gemara says, you're only chayav, it's 10 tefachim. Because it... What I mean to say is... What I mean to say is it was upside down already above the pit, and then it fell. Yes. Then you need 10 tefachim. Now, the Rishonim argue about the following case. What about the following case? What about the following case? What if you have a pit 6 and the animal was not rolling? The animal was standing up. Make a little tail. The animal was standing up. Okay, that looks just like a cow, right? You're unmistakably a cow. The animal standing up and it fell down into the boar and landed on the back of the boar. Right? Now, it taka fell, here's 6 tefachim. It fell 10 tefachim, but the boar was only 6 tefachim. So what's the din? It fell 4 tefachim, but the boar was, but 10 tefachim, but the boar was only 6 tefachim. What is the din? So, the riff there says, and the Torah quotes the name of the Yad Ramah, those are the two most famous Rishonim, says the riff and the Yad Ramah quoted in the Torah, right? We don't have the Yad Ramah in most Masechtos. We only have the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin and Bavasra. But the Ramah wrote on, I think, all the Masechtos. And the Shita Gubetzes has on in a couple places. And the Torah seems to have had a full set of Yad Ramah, because the Torah often quotes what the Yad Ramah said on, you know, many, many simonim of the Torah. So the Yad Ramah and the, as quoted in the Torah, and the Rif say, in this case, he is chayev, because it fell 10. Right? However, the Rashba and the Tosos Rush in the Shidim Gubetzes there say, potter, because the boar wasn't 10.
says, ah, isn't the boar 10 just a matter of whether it'll kill? No, you're only chayv the boar that can kill the animal no matter how it falls. It doesn't matter how this animal fell. Whether this animal fell 6 tfachim because it rolled upside down or whether it fell 10 tfachim. Because boar wasn't 10 and you're only chayv for misa if the boar is 10 and can kill an animal in any position. So you're only chayiv the boar is deep enough to kill an animal whether right side up or upside down. If it's only chayiv deep enough to kill a right side up animal, then you're potter.
Or what the Rif and the Raman is saying, and maybe even the Svar of the Rashba, because this way it only works if you're chayiv for chavata also. Because if you say you're chayiv, you didn't have also. The fact that it was 6 means it wasn't enough concentrated hevel, possibly.
The Gemara there seems to be talking, I think the Gemara there is specifically in the context of Chavata, if I recall correctly. Yeah, but I think this line is in the Chavata side.
That's what the Rif says.
Right, the Rif says that this Gemara is going according to Shmuel. In the previous sugya, he said that the halacha is like Rav.
Okay, but within this sugya. You're right, but that's not...
Right, in Shmuel.
That's not necessary now. Okay, so you're right, in this sugya, according to this sugya. Okay, so what's the yisod of this machlokas? So, I thought that, how about the case of boar shetachim v'nafal, right, shama shor omed al raglav, right? A right side up shore fell into a boar that's 6 tfachim. So I think if you're going with Rashi, then very, very clearly, you're going to say chayiv, because the boar did cause misa. Right, the boar caused the misa, it fell 10 tfachim. Ah, but it couldn't have caused misa if the animal was rolling upside down. Who cares? The boar did cause the misa. But if you're going with the Rashba, here's why I think he's Lushitase. This is the Rif and the Rama. If you're going with the Rashba Lishitase, then you could say no. What did the Rashba just say? There's two different avs of boar because they're two different cheftzas. Remember, that's what he said here? He didn't say there's two different avs. There's two different avs because they're two actually different physical pits. The difference is what? The physical pit, not what happens. The difference is the cheft of the boar itself. Rashba Lishitase, that there are two avos depending on cheftza shel habor. He doesn't say there are two avos depending on how the boar acts. That's exactly what he said. It's not like regel and tsruos, which is the same chefta, just it causes damage in two ways. That's Avin Tolda. This is two different cheftas. That's what makes it two avos. So he didn't just say, he says two avos because it's two different cheftas. Hold on, if it's two different cheftas, then we don't care how the shore was standing. We only care about the cheft of the boar. There's a cheft of a killing boar and a cheft of an injuring boar. And then you have to decide, what about a cheft of a boar that depends if the animal's right side up or upside down? So Chazal decided that's called an injuring boar. It's only called a killing boar if it kills animals in all positions. And therefore he says that a boar yud is a cheftza of boar hamemis, and a boar tes is a cheftza of boar hamazik. If you'll say, but can't the boar tes, or ches, or zayin, or vav, also kill if the animal falls right side from right side up? Yes, it could, but it's not called a killing boar because it can't kill animals in all positions. Now that's a chiddush. But the Rashba only works l'shitase. If the Rashba held there was one av, and just on the circumstance, you had to look, is this a logical injury or not? Then this Rashba would make no sense. Who cares that it couldn't have killed an upside-down cow? It's not an upside-down cow, it's a right-side-up cow. But if the right is l'shitase, there's two different avos of two different cheftas, and it has nothing to do with the shore falling in. What av it is has to do with the cheft of the boar before the shore falls in. The answer is, a pit that could kill all cows is one chefza. A pit that can only kill cows, depending on what position they're in, is a different chefza. And therefore, a boar
Vav, even though logically it can kill, is not a chefza of a boar that kills. Because it doesn't have power to kill in and of itself. It only has power to kill depending on where the legs were. That's called a chefza of a boar that kills. That's called a chefza of a boar that injures, and if you're unlucky, you could die. And therefore, I think the Rashi was 100% l'shitase. That's why I'm convinced that it's really something going on here. The Rashi was l'shitase. If you took the Rambam's approach, then, you know, I think you would have to get practical. Is it onus if it falls right side up? Then my feeling is that... is it onus if it falls right side up? Then my feeling is, I don't know, I guess it depends how often animals fall right side up. The Rebbe Ephraim on the side of the Rif, printed in our Gemara's on the side of the Rif, says they usually fall upside down, they roll in. Not sure. I never had a cow. I don't know how these things work. So the Rambam, if you're going to say it almost always rolls in and only rarely falls from its feet, then the Rambam would say it's honest. You didn't expect it to roll from its feet. But if it often, if it rolls from its feet half the time or a third of the time or a quarter of the time, then the Rambam should say, what do you mean? You knew it might sometimes fall from its feet, and this was a logical case. So I think that what the Rambam, if the tour is because of onus, then I would say... I would say if the Torah is because it didn't cause the death, it did cause the death. If the Torah is because it's two different kinds of cheftas, this is the cheftas of a non-killing boar. I don't care that it killed. It's not a cheftas of a killing boar. It just happened to kill. If it takes the Rama, it was unexpected. Was it unexpected or full right side up? I would think the Pashup shot is that I'd be chayav because it's expected to fall right side up. So I would think the Rambam would hold like the Rif here. The truth is the Rambam is not doing like the Rif, but that could be again. We're not learning that sugya now because the Rambam has different issues that change the sheet in that sugya. But maybe if animals rarely fall right side up. I know this, I'm writing in Korean, it says if animals rarely fall right side up, then you could even agree with the Rashba of Lav Mitame. You could say you're potter because it was very unexpected. But, I don't know, I tend to think that animals often fall right side up. Based on what? I don't know. I don't read animals.
You're thinking of calves.
Yeah, the truth is it depends on what kind of animals, right? So, now I'm not asking how they land, I'm asking how they fall. Like, but I imagine a shore tripping over a boar, the shore is walking, and then it hits the boar, and like it falls in from walking position. I don't imagine it like rolls over and then falls in.
I mean, how often does a shore lie down next to a boar and then might roll in? Like, that seems way less common.
Right, or how often would it like first fall on the ground, lying down, and then roll in? It seems to, right, since it seems to me that it's common to fall right side up. So... I'm going to put this in parentheses, and I'm going to assume the Rambam would probably possibly like the Rif. Okay, whether or not he does possibly like the Rif, I'm saying is more complicated. I just want to throw this, I think, this Rashi is very meduyek, that he's l'shitase. They're very meduyek, this Rashi. I haven't seen anyone point this out, but I saw in the footnote someplace, it says, Ari Leib Malin in Simon Nun Aleph has this Chakira with a lot of nafkaminas and ties into many sugyas. So I'm going to assume that everything I'm putting on the board is in Rav Ari Leib Malin. I don't have a copy at home, so I didn't get a chance to look. Do we have it in the base? I don't know. That's on Otzar Chachma. Okay, someone look and tell me if he says the same thing I said. I'm sure he has more. But anyway, I'll throw out two possible other nafkaminas. One is what the Rav gave this nafkamina. The Rav did deal with this up here. The Rav gave this up. It's not as Mukhrach. This is the Mukhrach Rosh Belish. It does say both the names and the Svaras. The Rav says there's a famous Machlokas later on, which gets a little complicated, about the Korah Achar Korah. Right? What does it say about the case of Korah Achar Korah? That if you dig 9, show me you'll be the bad guy if I volunteer to be the worst guy?
Sure.
You dig 9 and then I dig the 10th. I don't mean another 10. I dig the 10th. Right? Then... says the Gemara. Okay, it's very complicated because you have Machlokis Tanaim here. But let's go with the Tanakami. You dig 9, I dig the 10th. I'm Chayef. You dig 10, and then I dig another one, or even another... more than one? And it says someplace here. Doesn't say it here? Okay. Oh, there it is, later on. That we're all chayiv. Okay. What if, but I'm not chayiv on my own. What if you dig 8, I dig 9? Interesting question, right? So what if, here's the question. It's pashut that, you know, ba'echad, according to the Tanakhama, the chafar tes, uba'acher, the hishlimo, le yud, achron chayiv. Right, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. What about ba'echad, the chafar tes, uba'acher, Vishlimo Lites. You dug 9, if I dig the 10th, I'm chayiv. What if you dig 8 and I dig the 9th? Then what's the din? So, says Tosfos. Vuad. Yeah. Avol Rishon Ches Vzetes Kulam Chayavim. Then they're all chayiv. Says Tosfos. Kulam chayavim. Says the Ra'ah in the Shita Mekubetzes, Achron chayav. Okay, fascinating machlokas. What's the machlokas here? The Ra'ah says going from 8 to 9 is just as bad as 9 to 10. The Achron is chayav. He made this more dangerous. Says the Tosfos, no, 9 to 10 is a different category. Nizikin and Misa. 8 to 9... that's not a different category. That's merely a quantitative difference, not qualitative. So Sestos, a quantitative difference, you're both chayiv. Only a qualitative difference, the last guy's chayiv. The Ra'ah says either way, the last guy's chayiv. Now, they could be arguing nothing to do with our chakira. This is really just a maybe. Okay, the Ra'ah says it, so let's say chashiv maybe. But maybe you could say that it ties into our chakira, right? What's the basic question? Is 9 to 10 the same as 8 to 9 or not? Well, if it's one av, then I would say like the Ra'ah. 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 are equivalent. What's the difference? They're both making it more dangerous. 8 to 9 is more dangerous, 9 to 10 is more dangerous. Okay, they're both more dangerous, so they're both equivalent. But if I would see it as two different avos, then I might say like Tosfos. 8 to 9 is not a new av. 9 to 10 is a new av. 9 to 10 is being a new chefter shalbor. What do you mean? This is a totally different mazik. It used to be that av, now it's this av. Of course 9 to 10 I'm chayiv. But 8 to 9, why should I be chayiv? We just were partners. I didn't do anything special. But if you take Rashi's approach, then 9 to 10 also didn't do anything special. Now, it's not mokra, because you could say, well, practically, it did do something special. I'm saying, once you see a machlokas, Rishonim, is the gap from 8 to 9 the same as the gap from 9 to 10? Or no, 9 to 10 is a much bigger gap. It might not be about this, but it might say, well, if it's all one av, then 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 are the same. They're making an av worse. If they're two different avos, then 8 to 9 is making one av worse. But 9 to 10 is making a new av. Of course 9 to 10 is different than 8 to 9. So therefore, it might tie into this, and I'll just... Yes?
All the Rishonim who quoted that Rav Moshe made true, would they say that 8 to 9 is Paltor and 9 to 10 is Chayav, or is that Mokra?
I don't think it's Mokra. I have to think about it more. Okay, the last thing I want to mention, which was not on the Mekorshi, but someone came over and asked me. You guys came over and asked me about this, right? Fascinating question. Let's say I dig a boar test, and an animal falls in, breaks its leg, and dies. Right, now, the truth is, you have to die in the Rishonim, which the Achronim aren't properly. Is there a difference between dying and breaking its leg and dying? But let's say the animal gets injured and dies in a bortes. I'm pata for Misa. Am I at least chayiv for Nizikin? Your ox is worth $200. An ox is actually worth more than $200. Your ox is worth $500. Right? And it falls into my boar and dies. Okay, fine, the carcass is worth something. Let's assume the carcass is worth zero, right? So I don't have to pay the $500. But if it got injured, that would be $100 damage. So I at least have to pay you $100 for the injury. This is a machlokas rishonim in the sheet of Gubetzes in Daf Nun Aleph, right? Where did I show you in the sheet of Gubetzes? Daf Nun Aleph. It's a machlokas rishonim between the Reb Yonos of Milunil and the Meiri. In the sheet of Gubetzes in Daf Nun Aleph, Reb Yonos of Milunil says, you're chayiv v'nezikin, and the Meiri says, you're pater. Right? Am I quoting it right? Okay, so now I'm going to open the page. Reb Yonos of Milunil says, you're chayiv for nezikin. And the Chacham say you're potter. So this is a very fascinating question. What about, right, Shor Shenafal Libor Tes Umeis and Bal Habor Chayav Be, you know, Be Nezikin? And how would you give the Nezikin? So Yosef says an Umdida, right? That, you know, after all, in a bor test, it should have been damaged $100, and it died. I'm potter in the $500. Am I chayiv on $100, or do I get, or am I not chayiv at all? So we could say this is a very technical issue, which is, you know, when do you say b'chlam asayim money? When do you say something includes something else? Do you say if it died, it wasn't injured, or if it died, it was injured and died? Which is a very technical issue. Do you view injury as part of death or not? And it might have nothing to do with bor. You might have the same machlokas even outside of Bor, even if you're suing a hospital or something, you would have the same machlokas. Is everyone who's died viewed as being injured and dying, or just as dying? But, or at least an animal. But you could say, and this is also a maybe, right? Maybe you could say that it ties into our chakira. Maybe you could say that it ties into this chakira. If you view it all as one av, just as Rashi says, well, it's not your fault that it died. It's not, you didn't make $500 of damage. You made $100 of damage, you just didn't make $500 of damage. And this depends on exactly what Rashi means. If Rashi means that coincidentally had a heart attack, then did you do $100 of damage? Well, maybe that depends whether it broke its leg and then had the heart attack, or had a heart attack then broke its leg. Sorry, good. But clearly, if you're talking about Nezik and Amisa is one av, just your potter for something that you didn't cause that was too unexpected, then you might say, but you're at least chayav for part of it. After all, there's one av. You're not chayav for more than you're responsible for, but you're at least chayav for what you're responsible for. So I would tend to think, like the re milunil, that you're chayav. Right? Because look, there's one av babor. There's just a rule. You're not potter for more than you're responsible for. But you should be potter for what you are responsible for. But if you say it's two different avos, then you just fall between the cracks. In Hebrew, that's called nofel bein hakisaot. Fall between the chairs. I don't know why either way. After all, alts bor of misa, it wasn't a bor of misa. And alts bor of the nezikin and misa are two different mechayvim. You're not chayiv on nezikin because it was a misa. And you're not chayiv on misa because the bor was nezikin. So then it'd be easier to say, like the Meiri, that you're putter because you don't fall under either av. If it's one av, then you should at least be in the middle. If it's two avos, then you're not this av, you're not that av, you should be pater. Okay, that's far from mochrach, but I think that if you're going to have a one, it's like this. Just because you have a chakira doesn't mean the sides are going to argue about the Rim, Lunel, and the Meiri. But if there is any lundish nekudas machlokas between the Rim, Lunel, and the Meiri, this has to be it. So I don't know, it could be that it's not a lundish nekudas machlokas, just how they look at things. But if there is any lumdus, the Rimigasha in the, sorry, Rilam Nelam Iri, this is it. Okay, so this is a chakira that I think comes out of the shot of our Gemara. Zav Lamisav, Zav Lamzikin. You know, when first time I read that line, I say, what does it mean, Zav Lamisav, Zav Lamzikin? Does it mean they're all the same Av, being Misav and Nezikin? Or does it mean, no, there's one Av of Misav, one Av of Nezikin? Just the words could go either way. And it turns out, Taka, that seems to be a chokes to Shonim and could actually have many nafkaminas. Okay, let's just run through a little more of the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Now we're ready to move on. Ella, what's the case of the Tolda? The very end of Gimel and Alpha. Avdol Shikinom Asos, Shenichem, Rishon Rabim, V'Hiziku. Right, what's the case? You left your stone or knife or knapsack, right, in Rishon Rabim and someone tripped over it. So that's like a bor. It's not a, the Ava bor, because it's not a pit. It's a toldo bor, because it's the same idea as a pit. What's the difference if they tripped over in a pit or they tripped over a stone? Then what's the case? Heichadami. Idaf gurin hu bein rabin shvil haini bor. What's the case? If you were mafgir them, it was hefgir. You didn't own them. Then everyone agrees that this is a toldo of bor, but it has the same rules as bor. It's toldo saying keyotz behem, so it's not what we're looking for. That's all the same Lafkiot's man. Vidu lo afkarin hu. Ila shmuel da amar kulumi bor lamadnu hainu bor. Vila rab da amar kulumi shor lamadnu hainu shor. What if you weren't mafkin them? What if you still owned them? Then there's that very famous machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. That's on Daf Chav Chesem and Beis. What if I put an obstacle in the street that I own? So is that midin shor or bor? On the one hand, it's like a bor because it's an obstacle that someone trips over. On the other hand, it's not like a bor because a bor is not mine, and this is mine. Or if I want to knock it into machlokes we've shown him that we haven't seen yet, a bor is not an object that is mine, and this is an object that is mine. Okay, what I'm hinting at is that's machlokes we've shown him, whether the extra difference is whether it's mine or not, or whether it's an object or not. A bor is not an object, it's just a lack of an object. Okay, so therefore, what is it like? An object that's mine, an object of mine is like a shor, right? What's the nafkamina? What are they arguing about? Whether it's a bor or a shor, whether you learn from bor or shor, what in that gemara there, what are they arguing about? Kalim, right? A bor is patur on kalim, adam also. But, they also argue about adam, but the thing they actually argue about, the case they actually argue about is Caleb. Right? What if a guy trips on this stone that is owned by someone and he's carrying a vase and he trips and breaks the vase? So, Shmuel says, Mibor Lamadnu, this is a bar. Therefore, you're higher for the guy's skinned knee, but you're potter for the vase and make chai for nezek to another. You're potter for the vase and you'd be potter if the person died. And Rav says, no, this is a shor. A shor is chayv on kalim. You're chayv for the guy who skinned me and for the vaz. So they just asked, hold on. Ila shmol or kulim bor lamad hainu bor. Then it's bor. It's kayotz behem of bor. Vila rav or kulim shol lamad hainu shor. It's kayotz behem of shor. My shna bor, she came to chilas asiyos on the nezg mon chushmiros on alecha. Hani nam chilas asiyos on the nezg mon chushmiros on alecha. Just like bor, when you were originally, unlike all the other osazikim, when you were originally make it, it's dangerous. Right? Sure, it's only dangerous if you don't watch it. Right, you're supposed to have, I mean, they're very useful. You're supposed to have shvarim around. Eish, of course you need fire. You have to watch it, but fire is not a damaging thing. It's only if you don't watch it. A bor shouldn't be there in the first place, right? Bor, from the very beginning, is something that is damaging, and Mamoncha, either we do or don't have the Girsa, Tosis points out, we're not going to repeat that now, and Shmiras Alecha, Haninam, Chosis, Yosin, Ez, Mocha, Shmiras Alecha, Ella told the Bor, Kid Bor, okay, we reject that, what?
You didn't mean it for a good purpose, it wasn't, like, it's like, what do you mean? It's just that, isn't it that, I thought it meant that, I suppose everything else where it changes before, doesn't it, eh? Here, the bor is as it is when it does nezek, and it's whatever it was nizak.
I don't know what you mean by changes, like shame for regular changes?
So when the animal does it. Since I left it, the animal does its own thing. The fire spreads. Whatever. Here, the bor is as it was at the beginning. Tchilas osiyasa, the nezek is already as it was.
How you owned him le nezek. Okay, I don't know if there's a real difference between what we're saying.
Ravid, I think, says like that, but it says like that.
Okay. But close enough for now. Okay.
The rabbit saying that you dig a bor for digging as a well, that whole thing then is already not so much that it's negligent.
I don't mean that there is no purpose to digging it. I just mean that
it's not loud.
Right. And it's dangerous from the beginning, which, you know, may not be the same thing. I mean, might not. Let's leave that for now. Okay, so here we have the famous machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Who seems easier to defend here, Rav or Shmuel? Mishor lamadnu or Mibor lamadnu? Shmuel lechora Mibor lamadnu. It is similar to a bor. In what way is it similar to a bor?
It's a takala.
That it's a takala, and how would you say that in the language of our Mishnah? That's not the language of the Mishnah. Ein bo ruchayim, and more pointedly, right. Ein darkon leilich lahazik, right? It's not active, it's passive. It doesn't move, right? So it is like a bor in that it is a passive obstacle, which not only has no ruchayim, but is not even holy chumazik, takala. And of course, again, without getting into details, just intuitively on a very simple common sense level, that goes together with Tchilas Asiyas and Lenezek, because something which moves, so probably originally wasn't
going to be Mazik, you just let it go to the let it move to the wrong place.
Something which doesn't move was obviously dangerous from the beginning. Although, that's without details. Shmuel seems fairly straightforward. Rav is a big chiddush, and Rav wants to be mechayev you on Kalim because it's mishor lamadnu. The question is, how can it be mishor lamadnu? After all, it is not like shor. Shor has ruachayim and is holy chumazik. This has no ruachayim and is not holy chumazik. So everyone is bothered by that. All the rishonim give answers, and most of the rishonim's answers I don't understand, but I'm hoping you do. Tosfos gives a very clear answer. He just can't defend it. What does Tosfos say, quoting the Rashbam? Right. So here we have Rav, who says, what's his lashon kulam mishoro lamadni? Equals, practically, chayav al hakelim, right? That is the sort of practical thing that he's telling us. So what does Tosfos, or quoting the Rashbam, say? What are we learning from? What does it mean, mishoro lamadnu? For it's sada shaveh of shor and bor. Sada shaveh of what kind of shor and bor? Keren. Why? You don't want to be a sada shaveh shem regel, because then it will be pater rishus harabim. But, so says the Tosos and the Rashbam, he says, sad hashaveh of keren and bor. And if you'll say, well, then shouldn't it have the kula of keren that it's tam the first three times? So it says, no, that doesn't bother us, because the whole idea is not shayach. The whole idea of tam the first three times, then muad, is only by an animal that you have to, like, know how it acts, and it can act in different ways. A passive obstacle doesn't change the way it acts. So therefore it's obvious to us that tam is not shayach. But what's the killer question on Tosfos, which Tosfos himself dies from?
Rav's whole point is
with Chayv and Kalim. If we learn from Tzad HaShavi, you have to have the kulas both sides, and then it should be Potter and Kalim. Right? And Tosfos does not have an answer. Remember, that's what we mentioned as opposed to the Chris. Right? So the problem is that should be Potter for Kalim because you have the kulas of both sides. Okay. What does the Ravid say? The Ravid says something different, which gets you out of this problem. What does the Ravid say? The Ravid says we just learned it from Karen. He says we just learned it from Shor. We don't learn it from Bordeaux. We just learned it from Shor. Then he just asks, what do we learn from Shor? From Karen of Shor or from Shane Varegil of Shor? Meaning, is it going to be Chayim versus Rabim or Potter versus Rabim? And he says, no, we'll learn it from Karen of Shor and not from Shane Varegil of Shor, says the Ravid. Why? He says, well, what makes something Karen, if it is? Two words, magic words? Kavanos Lahazik. So, does this stone have Kavanos Lahazik?
No.
No, I'm fairly certain not. But, nonetheless, says the Ravid, that is like Karen Muedes. And it's not like Shane and Regel, because Shane and Regel, you're allowed to have your animal shus rabim here. You're not allowed to put it there. It's like Kavanos Lahazik. In what way is it like Kavanos Lahazik? It's not 100% clear, but it sounds like it's like Kavanos Lahazik, because unlike Shane and Regel, obviously, the stone didn't have to go on the hazik, but the owner had kavana to do something completely unethical and completely and completely usher to leave his stone rishus rabim. So that counts like kavanas lahazik. And you see, it's a chiddush, right? But you say it's not shame v'regel. Shame v'regel, right? I just didn't watch my animal well enough. Karen, my animal was trying to destroy. Here also, I'm leaving a rock in the street, knowing what will happen. That's like Havana Lahazik, or he says, he's a slightly different formulation, he says, because it's a hani v'pshia degufa l'chayv v'nezik shol m'shus harabim. Since I personally did something wrong, pshia degufo, not pshia about my guf, but with my guf, I actually put this here, therefore, that clearly makes it like most machmer kind of shor, and gives me all the chumras of shor. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there, but says the Ravid, if we can summarize the Ravid, says the Ravid, it's just learned from Keren Muedis. Right, which is merely saying the same Keren. Like, why is Keren Muedis not Keren Tam? Because we all know what it'll do. It's not a lie. What's the basic problem of the Ravid? That and if he goes, but it's not like Keren, it's not Kavanos Lahazik, he says, no, this is like Kavanos Lahazik. It's a chiddush, but I'll live with it. What's the big problem with the Ravid? Yeah, what about Ruach Chaim and Holy Chumazik, right? Meaning, he's worried so much. How do we know what kind of shore it's like? Is it like Shein V'Regel, or is it like Keren? And is it like Keren Mu'ar, or like Keren Tam? And he works so hard to figure out what kind of shore it's like, but he doesn't ask the obvious question, and it's a tamity why he doesn't ask the obvious question. And I'll just say, right, I'm not as smart as you think I am. I don't understand what most of the Rishonim say here. I don't understand why the Ravid, he's so worried about whether it's Kavanos Lahazik or not. Why isn't he worried more fundamentally? Whether it's Ruach Chaim, Darko Leila for Lahazik. Answer?
No, could he be building off Rashi? Rashi also doesn't like
Rashi also, but Rashi at least is not like getting into it.
So the Torah is, I mean, it sounds like he's building off.
Correct.
Rashi already told us it's okay to just say, since it's Mamoncha.
Right, I mean, I don't know that he's Mamish building off Rashi because I don't think he read Rashi. But anyway, this is Kasha to me. The Rabbi doesn't ask this Kasha. That.
He doesn't ask it because it's simple to us.
Ein bo rachayim ve eino holech umazik. He obviously. I know he thinks it's a simple answer. Why? Because he worries about that it's not coming off Lahazik. So he's obviously, he says, I have to explain everything that needs explanation. But I don't know why he just, how does he think you can learn from Keren Muad if Keren Muad is Holech Umazik and Yeshbo Rachayim and this is not Holech Umazik and Ingo Rachayim? I really don't understand the right, but I'm sorry
if,
to say.
If the reason he learns that from Keren is because he has Kamar Lahazik, but doesn't Regal also have that because it's also Shalach Shluchay?
No, because in the end, it's even if it's not Shalach Shluchay, that's only a Havamina. Maybe in that Havamina, okay. But that's only a Havamina. You're right, in that Havamina, but we're beyond that Havamina. So I wish I understood the Ravid, but I don't understand the Ravid.
I mean, he takes it for granted, this thing that we saw, like, that it is Ruach Chaim, and it's Halakha Mazik, because the person put it there.
Ah.
But that's so you don't. Okay. It's so obvious, he doesn't
so what
say
you
it.
Could say in the Ravid, especially in the Inami, the Ravid says, it's Pshia de Gufo. It's what the guy did in his book. After all, where's the Kavanos Lahazik? Not in the stone, the Kavanos Lahazik is in the person. So you could say for the Ravid that, the person who put the stone there is Holy Chumazik and is Yeshba Rechayim, and therefore it can be learned from Shor, just like Shor Muad, the shore is alive and moving and has destructive intentions. Likewise here, the person is alive and moving and has destructive intentions. The fact that the Maisa Hezek is not something living and moving with intentions needn't bother us. That's what we're trying to say to defend the Ravid.
Mishnah said four, right?
Right, of course, part of the problem is that if I dig a pit, I'm also moving and alive and have bad intentions, and yet I'm Putter and Caitlin, because I don't, it's not an object that I own.
No, it's not.
So, if it's an object that I own, then my life and movement and intention is mitzurif to it. If it's just a pit, my life and movement intention is not mitzurif to it. I guess you could say that.
The board.
But it's far from pashut.
The board didn't move. You made the board right here. The other things, you move them.
What you're saying is that this stone moves by me moving it.
Right. You
put
it there.
A pit can't move.
But it wasn't a damager. You placed the damager here. It only became a damager when you put it down. The pit became a damager when you dug it.
There are those who want to say, after all, people could kick it around and it was still damaged, so maybe it's holy humazik. Truth is, you're right. A pit can't move. This can move. What about that? Is the Rechayim? Okay, Yeshlayim.
So we already said that if you want to build up Mam and Hamazik as a Mchayim, the Bor is not saying Mam and Hamazik. So the Chora, Bor has got like one of the Gzeros and Kamsos, but now we can bring it back into Mam and Hamazik. So all Mam and Hamazik is like an extension of Adam Hamazik. You can say that, that's what the Ravid is trying to explain.
Okay,
it's kind of like an extension of Adam
Hamazik. Okay.
But it's not like all the other Mammon Hamazik. All the other Mammon Hamaziks have independent sorts of things. This Mammon Hamazik is like boring that it's not independent, but it's like Adam Hamazik and that it's
Okay, you're basing yourself on the Grizz, it sounds like.
Similar, but, I mean, he doesn't really...
Yeah, okay, so let me hold that thought for a second. Let me point out, Morty, you still haven't helped with the Ruach Chaim. Right?
The Ruach Chaim, the person.
Ah, so the Ruach Chaim is the person, but the Holech Umazik is that he moved the stone. And that's why an Abor is not.
Okay.
Ola Yeshlomar. Yeshlomar. De Hamenicho Sham. Yeshbo Ruach Chaim. Vikavon El Hazik. Ve Al Yado Ha'Even Holech Umazik. And that's why an Abor. I can't move the boar. But here, since I moved the stone, and I could move the stone, therefore, I moved the stone, it's Holech Umazik. I have Ruach Chaim, I have Kavana, bad Kavana. That's, you're really picking very arbitrarily how you analyze these things, right? But, okay, if you're stuck.
And part of that is depending why is Ruach Chaim a Chomer. First, the Shittim of Gwetzah says, why, on the mission, why is Ruach Chaim a Chomer? Because we can choose to damage at any given moment. Here, the stone, like, and the bed, you put it there, your
Ruach Chaim
doesn't apply
that. Okay, so that's not the biggest problem.
Right.
Okay, you're going to have to get the board at some point, although, and just move the hand of the clock 15 degrees. Okay, fine, 30 degrees. 90. Yeah, at least 90. Anyway, So, the Ravid, you see how it's difficult. I think I am going to go with Ben in the end. But, let anyone have any other theories how this works? Now, here's an interesting one. The Tosos of Beit Peretz quotes Tosos as saying, Tzad HaShava of Bor and Eish. Okay, once it's Tzad HaShava of Bor and Eish, then already, whether or not it has Kavon L'Hazik, Shor and Eish. The Tzad HaShava of Shor and Eish. So it doesn't need Kavon L'Hazik, because Eish doesn't have Kavon L'Hazik, so it's in the Tzad HaShaveh. Right? It doesn't need Hezekah Matzoy, doesn't need Hanal Hezekah. The only thing is that, as it says in the Mishnah, Shor and Eish are Holei Chumazik, and Bor is not Holei Chumazik. So unless you say that somehow, guess what you have to say is that this is learned from the Mishnah, and here's maybe where Morty could do a little better. This is called Holech Umazik because, unlike a pit, it is something that can roll around from place to place and be Mazik. Now, I wouldn't call it Holech Umazik because it's not Mazik while it's moving. Someone trips over it. So it's really Holech and then stops being Holech and then is Mazik. But if you want to stretch, and basically the Tosafot in Parashat Esantos says, it makes no sense. After all, it's not Holech Umazik. If you wanted a stretch, maybe you could say that this is called Holech Umazik. If you're really stuck, maybe, I think, maybe you could say this is called Holech Umazik. He says, Lonahira, Mal Hanashin Darkon Leiluch Lahazik. So, Bekoshi, maybe you could say, although again, none of these are good. Basically, none of these are really great. But let's just say the Pshatin says the Tosfos of Beit Peretz, the Shein Tosfos, Tzad HaShaveh, De Shor Ve'esh. The difficulty is that it's Eino Holech Umazik, which is why the Tosfos of Beit Peretz rejects this. Maybe you could say V'Dochach, but not as much Dochach, but still a lot, De Holech Umazik Al Yedei Adam Hamolicho, and you could even say people could kick it all the time. But bedochak, you could call it Holech Umazik. I don't love it, because the pashta Holech Umazik is it moves and is mazik while it's moving. And here it is not mazik while it's moving. It is mazik while it is still. But if I had no choice, then maybe I could somehow, I could somehow live with it. The other option is just, okay, we're running out of time. It's already 11 o'clock. Okay, you see how we're in trouble here a little. Maybe I'll just, I won't go through everything. Basically, you have two options. Or maybe even
three options. One option is to go back to Tosos and to, because these other ones are very tricky, one option is to go back to Tosos and say, no, there are technical rules of Limudim that you're not familiar with here. And I admit, there are. I felt better when I read the Sheet of Bess with footnotes and it says, oh, this doesn't, we can't possibly understand what he's saying, this one we can't possibly understand what he's saying, maybe you feel a little better. Maybe you could say, there are some technical rules of Limudim that we are not familiar with. Like the Marikatz quotes from Moshe Meivru and says, we don't put the coolers of both things in a Tzad HaShaveh. Now that's a little funny, because I thought we generally did. And the Tosu in a parrot says, we don't say Dayo Lovma Dinyos Kenido, meaning we don't put in the kulas when we have Palgadina, when we have a Tzad HaShaveh, which is not the normal rules that I'm so familiar with, so I don't fully understand. Maybe what's a little better is what it sounds like from the later Gilyan Tosfos. So somehow you change the rules of Drushos. Either you say that there's no dial. Dial means it's no. It can't be more chomer than what it came from. Meaning, it can't be more machlo than what it came from. Dial lo mendingus. It can't be more chomer than the source. There's no dial in a Tzad HaShaveh, which is a problem because it seems to be against most of Shas. Or maybe, if you're willing to rely on a Rabbi Tarfon later, there's no dial if that would leave you learning nothing. That's called Ein Omrim Dayo Heichod Mafra Kavachomer. Or there's no dial if that would leave you learning nothing. And that's what the Gilyon says. What does he say? He says, from Bor, we could have compared this to Bor without a Tzad HaShaveh. But we can also compare it to Shor. But we would learn nothing from Shor if we said that Dayo, and we said we're still Potter and Caleb. So in order to learn something from Shor, we have to be Chayiv Caleb. Okay, I'm not going to get into this. Another option is the Maharam and the Gilyon Tosfos. Is the Gilyon Tosfos B'Shem Maharam? He says that really it's not a Tzad HaShaveh. So maybe I should call this four. He says really not a Tzad HaShaveh. It's really learned from Shor. Bor is just a Giloy Milsa. That passive and active hezek are equivalent. This is what's called Gilui Milsa. Gilui Milsa is different from Limud. The problem is that there's no way to tell what's a Gilui Milsa, what's a Limud, other than just, you know, a judgment call. Which is what's it mean by Gilui Milsa? We don't really learn from Shor and Bor. We learn it from Shor. Just like Shor is an object you own and it damages your chayav, this is an object you own if you damage your chayiv. Ah, Shor is a live, moving animal, and this is a passive obstacle. From Bor we see, not that we learn from Bor, that a passive obstacle is the same as an active mazik. That makes no difference whatsoever. So Bor is just an igloy milsa. There's no difference in passively being mazik and actively being mazik. And therefore we learn from Shor, but not a Tzad HaShaveh, not a real Tzad HaShaveh, not an authentic Tzad HaShaveh, just the Gilui Milsa.
Isn't that really just what Pariza
is saying?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but I'll mention that in a second.
Aren't you just poor to say that there are, even though each one of them have definitions, that there are some more defining characteristics than others?
Uh-huh. Yes. And I think ultimately that's what you have to come on to. The Grizz, and I think the Grizz matches what it says in the there's a few others. You know what? Okay, the hour is already late. The hour is already late, and I want to really make us appreciate the Grizz properly and explain why he's. I think he's the same as what Ben is saying, not the same as Joel is saying. Why don't we pick up with this Amir Tashem next time? So the plan for next time is we're not going to go back to the brackets of number two here. We're just going to finish up this discussion for a few moments. And we will move on to briefly talk about what was number three on this Makor sheet. And then, meanwhile, go on in the Gemara until the two dots the sugya of Tzuras. So we'll pick up Mishnah. What day is it? Thursday? So next time is next Thursday. So we have two more shiurim this man, Thursday and Monday of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And that Thursday and Monday of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, hopefully we will plan to finish Daf Yomo.